Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. The city of Harrisburg is trending in an upward trajectory, especially financially. Just a few years ago, the city was teetering on the edge of bankruptcy, but several major moves had to be made to make Harrisburg viable financially, including selling assets and raising taxes. Crime continues to be a concern for residents and visitors to the city. To discuss these issues and many others is our guest today, Harrisburg Mayor Eric Papenfuss. Mayor Papenfuss, welcome to the program.
Hi, Scott. It's really good to be back on Smart Talk.
It is. It's been a while since we've had you on the program by yourself talking about Harrisburg issues. If you have a question or comment, before we get into those issues, if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. You know, I think, as I said, from time to time, we'll have mayors of the major cities here in central Pennsylvania on the program. And I always want our audience to know kind of where they stand in relationship to that city. As mayor of Harrisburg, why is it significant that those outside the city limits would care about what's going on in Harrisburg?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's because Harrisburg is really the heart of the central Pennsylvania region. The name Harrisburg is synonymous with central Pennsylvania. And I would say as Harrisburg goes, so goes the region. We're centrally located. And when we attract negative national attention like we did 5 years ago, that affects everyone. It affects businesses wanting to relocate to central Pennsylvania. It affects people interested in buying homes in central Pennsylvania. And likewise, when the city's doing well and prospering, the opposite effect is true. We're all in this together. And Harrisburg, as Harrisburg goes, so goes the region.
Do you make decisions based on that, these are decisions that could have an impact on the region? I mean, obviously, you're going to say that the people who live in the city are your main priority, but are there decisions made? Maybe you can give you an example that decisions you've made where you're thinking about people who live outside the city limits.
Well, sure, yeah. And if you look at some of the exciting things that are happening in Harrisburg, they're not just for Harrisburg residents. We have a brand new federal courthouse that's about to break ground. It's going to be built in the next several years. We are the center for the federal district for all the judicial cases, for the currently for the FBI and the U.S. Marshals. All that comes through Harrisburg. Harrisburg University, which is growing by leaps and bounds, planning a wonderful new office tower. It's attracting people from all over the world. Its enrollment has increased dramatically, and that's positive for the whole region. So, yes, everything we do from transportation decisions to work we do on the state level for redeveloping aspects of Harrisburg and creating jobs, it's all with a regional focus.
Can you give me an example, though, of a decision that you've made that has an impact outside the city limits?
Yeah, sure. I think that... sometimes it can be a decision which is controversial, like redesigning traffic in Harrisburg. We have big plans to sort of change the way commuters come and go from the city and to make Harrisburg pedestrian friendly. Investments that we've made to improve our parks. And for instance, we've got a brand new plan to repave all of the Riverwalk and Riverfront Park. That's a benefit to everyone who comes and visits. The way we've increased our festivals and programming from the 4th of July to Arts Fest, these are things that actually attract more people. You know, Harrisburg's interesting because our population doubles during the day. We have as many people come and work in Harrisburg as actually live in Harrisburg. So I consider myself responsible not just for city residents, but for everyone in the region.
Harrisburg's population doubles during the day. Yeah. And when you have a lot of these special events, there are many, many people like Capona, when there's Arts Fest like last weekend. Mm-hmm. But the population of the city over the past 30, 40, 50 years has decreased. And there has to be a reason for that. Do you want to see that trend turning around, and how do you do that?
So we are seeing the trend turning around, and I'm very excited about that. It's actually been a 70-year decline. Ever since the 1950 census, every census has shown a decline, and Harrisburg's population has really decreased by almost half since 1950. This will be, hopefully, the 2020 census will be the first time that we see that reversed. We know that's happening because for the last 2 years, one of the most exciting statistics for the city is that we've seen increased revenue, more people working in the city, more people paying in taxes. So we know the population is beginning to grow. And that's really the key to Harrisburg's long-term viability. We are the only city in which the majority of our property is tax exempt. Other third class cities have large percentages, but we have the majority.
What percentage is that? And by the way, I think everyone probably realizes has the state capitol and so many government buildings there. That's why.
That's why. It's just over 50%, but it's still more than half. So right off the bat, and we're also geographically, we're a relatively small city. When you take half of the property value away, it puts a burden on the tax base that is there. We also have a large percentage of our population living at or below the poverty line. So there's a limited tax base, and the key to the city's sustainability is increasing that tax base by getting more people to move into the city. The infrastructure, while old, is actually there and exists for a much larger city. So we're trying to reverse the population decline, and we're starting to see it. It's very exciting. Part of that is people having confidence in Harrisburg and feeling confident that we've turned the corner on bankruptcy and that we are moving in the right direction, and we are. And that type of investment leads to more people moving into the city.
So how, as of today, how is the city's financial status?
It's strong. It's good. We've had nothing but balanced budgets since I've been in office. We've actually built up a bit of a nest egg, a fund balance that we've been using for major infrastructure projects, new streets and roads, and we've got plans to replace bridges and the Riverwalk I mentioned. All of these things are happening, and we're beginning to attract an awful lot of private investment, people wanting to live and work in Harrisburg. There's a return naturally to a desire for city living, but it's also playing out here in central Pennsylvania in Harrisburg. People like the idea of being able to walk or bike to work, maybe not have to have a car. And Harrisburg is really the center of that energy and that focus.
Now, there are so many issues I want to discuss with you, and you've already touched on a number of them. I'll start with, and by the way, these issues are in no order of importance. There are so many of them that I'm going to jump around with there, Mayor Papenfuss, and again, ask you if you'd like to. I know that a couple of people called in already, haven't gotten through. If you try again, you will get through. 1-800-729-7532 is the number to call. I want to start with something you just mentioned. It may not be the most important issue in the city, but since you mentioned it, I wanted to bring it up. And that was the city being pedestrian friendly. Harrisburg, you announced this last month, and you talked about Harrisburg being part of a Vision Zero action plan. There have been a number of pedestrians struck by vehicles in the city. This isn't just new to Harrisburg. This is happening in a lot of places where there's a lot of traffic. People don't realize that pedestrians have the right of way. So first of all, tell me what this Vision Zero action plan is.
Sure. Vision Zero is a statistically based plan which aims to eliminate pedestrian fatalities within the city of Harrisburg. And it's done by collecting data, examining the sort of current conditions, and then deploying resources in ways that are the most effective. We know we've got certain hotspots and difficult places in Harrisburg where we've had a number of fatalities. For instance, the area just over the State Street Bridge as you go into Allison Hill has seen far too many fatalities over the past year. One of the offshoots of having your population doubled during the day is that you have a lot of commuter traffic. And if you look at that road, it's basically a six-lane sort of super highway cutting through a residential street and district. There's no need for State Street to be that large. There are things that we can do, I think, to improve the crosswalks, improve the lighting, improve the visibility, maybe redesign the street into a boulevard, which it really was a tree-lined, much smaller street historically. Just over the years, that design and some of the designs of our other roads were based really just with the automobile in mind. And as Harrisburg is now beginning to grow, all of our transportation decisions are based with the pedestrian and the walker and the biker and the mass transit user in mind. And it makes a difference everywhere. So if you look at some of the projects that are underway in Harrisburg, many people know we redesigned Front Street, we added crosswalks, we reduced a lane of traffic. We're now out doing 3rd Street. And at all the major intersections on 3rd Street, we're creating what they call bump outs, which are basically means of having a shorter crossing distance for pedestrians at the lights. And within those bump outs, we're putting in green infrastructure, plants and flowers, things that will encourage, I think, motorists to slow down, maybe frequent businesses, but also look out for pedestrians. And it's entirely different focus from look at what happened in Forster Street when that was designed and the Harvey Taylor Bridge was built. I mean, they literally uprooted an entire neighborhood and you know, blacktopped over the whole thing. And we're reversing some of those decisions. Another plan we have is long-term to try and make 2nd Street north of Forster Street a two-way street and have the traffic really flow up to 7th Street and down 7th Street. And we also have a proposal for an eventual bridge over over the train tracks at Division Street in Harrisburg that would connect the Wildwood Park and the Hack Campus with Uptown Harrisburg and help with traffic patterns. Cameron Street's already a very congested street, and we need another exit point and entrance point, a northern gateway, basically, for the city. So, yeah, it's all about making Harrisburg safer for pedestrians, and that improves quality of life, and that improves the desire of people to want to come and live in a place where they can, again, survive and exist without an automobile in many cases.
What's the cost, and where does the money come from?
Different projects are being funded in different ways. We're funding the Vision Zero study because we think it's sort of important and paramount to all the decisions we're making. For instance, we don't want to make 2nd Street a two-way street and improve pedestrian safety there without also looking at its impact in other parts of the city. We don't want to send more commuters up State Street, for instance, and make it less safe for people who live there. So we also have some grants from PennDOT. They've been very supportive of the city. And we have some money from Impact Harrisburg, which was set up as part, it's a nonprofit organization that was set up as part of the city's recovery. And all these things are going. It costs a lot to do these types of transportation and infrastructure upgrades, and but it's a good investment.
I'm curious, you mentioned flowers, the bump outs.
Yeah.
What about, and when you said that you hope that that would slow some vehicles down, is that the major problem, speed, how fast people are driving, or maybe they don't realize that pedestrians have the right of way? And why would drivers slow down if there are flowers around?
Well, and trees as well. You know, I think we have an awful lot of distracted drivers on the road. I don't think that's a radical statement. And that's a problem. And people do go too quickly. They go too quickly on many of our streets, 2nd Street, Front Street, State Street, just being examples, Cameron Street being another one. So obeying the speed limit, being less distracted, and then, you know, just also being more aware of the surroundings, whether those be the natural surroundings or the commercial surroundings or pedestrians, that's the key. The city does have enforcement mechanisms. We have a traffic unit of our police department, but they can't be everywhere at all times. So part of what our study is looking at is how can we best deploy them? What hours, what days, what locations, so that we can be most effective in changing these distracted and overly aggressive patterns.
We'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest today is Harrisburg Mayor Eric Papenfuss. If you have a question or comment, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. And I know that we have a lot of calls coming in that haven't made it on the air yet. We will get to them in in just a few minutes. Mayor, something that was big in the news just last week.
Sure.
The city is part of a lawsuit with the state that was filed against several legal, financial, and engineering firms that were involved back in the early 2000s with repair and retrofit of the trash burning incinerator. And that went a long way toward the city's financial problems. At one time, city was $360 million in debt. So what are you looking for out of this lawsuit?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'll say is I want to thank the governor. This is really Governor Wolf stepping up and demanding accountability for what happened to Harrisburg and what led us to the brink of bankruptcy. This is a feat of great courage because we're standing up against some of the most powerful financial and legal and engineering firms in the Commonwealth. And there is a principle in the law which basically says that the statute of limitations doesn't apply to the top or to the Commonwealth. And as I think many people know, in the lawsuit against former Mayor Stephen Reed, all of the charges related to the racketeering and the history of what happened in Harrisburg were thrown out due to the statute
criminal
of
charges.
Criminal
yeah,
charges.
Yeah.
So we haven't really had accountability, and I think accountability is key. And in this instance, that accountability could come with a major paycheck that would benefit the city of Harrisburg and taxpayers for the Commonwealth. These firms gave advice which the records show at the time they knew was wrong. They said things publicly about how it was possible to engineer this or borrow money or do this, and then privately were telling others that it was clearly they were expressing doubts and saying this wasn't the right thing to do. They charged in fees alone over $10 million to give this advice, which they knew was not good advice at the time. So I say we start right there and let's try and recoup those fees, because it's been an enormous cost. And it's been a cost not just to Harrisburg residents, it's been a cost to the region. Receivership for the city cost taxpayers millions of dollars to come in and sort all this out. By forcing the city to sell the incinerator and spin off the water system and sell the parking system, everybody has had to pay higher rates. Every time you go to Harrisburg and complain about paying those extra dollars for parking, well, I think you can see a direct line to the advisors which gave advice which they knew was wrong at the time. So, if we can recover millions of dollars, we can use that to potentially roll back some of the increased fees that we pay in the city, as well as to make sure that we have a sustainable, balanced financial course for the future.
You know, you're probably not the right person to ask this question, because I'm asking you to speculate, but why would these firms do that? Why would they mislead the city?
Well, in many instances, they only got paid if the deal got done. And that's the worst way to set something up. You hire a financial advisor, but then they only get a fee if they sell you that swap deal or if they convince you to do this bond refinancing. And so they had a direct financial incentive in getting these things done and not worrying necessarily about the long-term consequences of whether or not taxpayers could afford them or whether or not they would fall apart for a few years because they'd be paid. And that system has led to the legislature, I think, considering a number of reforms that would prevent that from happening in the future. But I think that's the short answer to your question.
What you describe almost sounds like a conspiracy.
Yes, I certainly believe it was a conspiracy. I certainly believe it was fraudulent, which is what the lawsuit alleges. And
This is
not a criminal suit. Again,
right.
The criminal charges, which I also felt were very strong, were thrown out by the judge due to the statute of limitations. And as a result, Reed pleaded guilty to stealing city artifacts. And it was lesser charges that really didn't have to do with the crux of how Harrisburg got into the mess it got into. Now we're looking at a civil case, and the law for a civil matter is different, and we're looking specifically at these advisors and the advice they gave and the fees that they made. So I am optimistic that we will have accountability. And I think accountability is key because we all in this region continue to pay for the mistakes of the past.
And, you know, this isn't a big surprise, but from what I have, from what I understand, you know, a number of those firms have said that's completely false. We did not do these things. We're innocent of any all of this.
Yes. Now, if you read the complaint, which was filed and is out there, you can see in their own words, people from the firm, you know, stating that they knew at the time that the advice that they were giving was not the right advice to give. So I think if it does go to a jury trial, which is what the governor has requested, a jury will be very sympathetic and will have to weigh the enormous cost which the city and the regions and all the residents and the taxpayers of Pennsylvania have had to pay. And I think that I'm hopeful that eventually we will have accountability.
Knowing the glacial pace that the courts take with suits like this, this could be well past the Eric Papenfuss era in Harrisburg. Although I'm not saying that you're limited to, who knows, maybe you go 20 years or so.
No. that won't happen. But let me say that actually I think it will start to move pretty quickly at this point. The key was having the leadership from the governor to file the suit on behalf of the Commonwealth. And the request has been made for a jury trial, and there will be some motions. And once the issue of the statute of limitations is resolved, whether or not it will apply, I think you'll probably end up seeing a lot of these firms wanting to settle rather than go to trial.
So I want to make some news here. Sure. Did you just say that there won't be 20 years of a Papenfuss administration?
I did say that, yes.
Are you limiting yourself?
Absolutely.
So how many years?
Certainly not 20, yes, right.
Certainly not 20.
I'm just in my fifth year.
I know. Yes, you brought it up.
Oh.
I have to follow up on that, Mayor, when you say something like that, because that is newsworthy.
Yeah. Well.
So you opened the door, but you're not going to close it for me.
Hey, I have a job to do, which is to get Harrisburg on a sustainable financial future course. And we're actually at a critical moment, and how this moment goes is going to affect sort of my long-term thinking. You know, this is the fifth year anniversary of the recovery plan for the city of Harrisburg, and there's actually a clock ticking for Harrisburg's recovery, because when the legislature revised the Act 47 bill, which is the distressed municipalities bill that we're currently under, they said you only have 5 years. And we've made enormous strides in those 5 years. As I say, we've had balanced budgets. We've got a fund balance. Things are going very, very well. We've hired, we've built back some of the capacity at the city. But unless something happens over the next several months here, we would, in order to leave Act 47 under that 5-year time frame, we would potentially lose our taxing authority that we currently have. And if we did that, we'd have a huge gap. About 20% of our budget would disappear, and we'd be right back to the financially distressed status that we started with. And it would undo a lot of the progress that we've made. So I don't want to see that happen.
So what? Okay,
I want to see us just maintain what we have and continue to build on the success of what we have. Only the legislature, in their great wisdom, would have come up with a program which says, we'll give you the tools to succeed, but once you succeed, we're going to take those tools away, which is the way that the law is currently written. So we're on the Hill currently lobbying to try and to change that law and to make it possible to sort of keep those tools for the long term. And I think that's part of the key to Harrisburg's exit strategy from Act 47. And I'm very optimistic and hopeful that we can get it done.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds, because this is something that people can look at and say, well, I don't quite understand what they're talking about with Act 47. What do you have to do to meet that deadline?
So what we did, in addition to privatizing all those assets that we talked about in Harrisburg, we also raised taxes on our residents. And we increased the earned income tax, which is paid by people who live in the city of Harrisburg and who work in the city of Harrisburg. We increased that tax. People are paying that tax. Nobody's particularly happy with it, but it was basically the price that we paid for the hundreds of millions of dollars in debt that we had, and to get ourselves back to a balanced budget. That ability to increase that tax was granted to us by the Commonwealth in this Act 47, and we theoretically can't take that with us. So we need the law to allow us to maintain that for the long term.
Let's take some phone calls. Heath is in New Cumberland. Heath, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Yes. I just have a question for the actual mayor there.
Great.
I'm definitely on board with you with the sustainability aspect of re-encouraging Harrisburg.
Go ahead, Heath. You're still there?
I'm still on?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was getting some feedback.
Yeah.
Is it time now to recreate a kind of a CCC type of an atmosphere amongst everybody? No political referendum, nothing involved. But is it time for us to gather all of our resources of a retiring community and a free summer for a lot of people and just go and get these projects and handle them?
So you're talking about almost like volunteers that, and I guess you're also referring to retired people who could help out. Volunteers doing what?
Taking a spot in the city that needs address,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just coming in and just going at it like termites.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. What about
actually,
that?
I agree with that completely. We rely on a lot of volunteer spirit and civic energy already in the city. We have big companies like Deloitte, for instance, which has an impact day every year. It's coming up again here shortly, and they're going to be out in our parks planting trees and flowers and cleaning things up. Last year, they helped out at the fire stations doing painting and odd jobs. We have a day of caring that the United Way puts together with youth from high schools really throughout all of central Pennsylvania. They come once a year in the spring to City Island, and before the Senators open their season, they do a major day of cleaning and working things out. And every day, we have volunteer organizations in the city that are partnering with the city to help increase our capacity and take care of our the many things that need to be taken care of. So I believe volunteerism is at the core of any mission of city government, and it's also a way of bringing people together, and it's very important.
Are there people who look at that and say, well, that's the city's responsibility. Why do you need volunteers? Of course, this happens everywhere, so it's not like it's unique to Harrisburg.
Sure, first of all, the city has an enormous number of parks. We've got a green belt that wraps around the city and goes through multiple municipalities. It's
which people love, by the way.
And we have increased our park rangers and our park maintenance, but that burden falls on taxpayers. And I think that there's definitely room for volunteers and others to become engaged and to be part of the solution of things. So I think there's a great benefit to it. And while the city sort of takes responsibility for the core functions, some of the beautification issues are particularly good for volunteer groups. We have different groups that are friends of different parks and different aspects of Harrisburg, and they contribute a tremendous amount to the city.
Let's take another call. Jim is in York. Jim, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, you're welcome.
And Mr. Mayor, yeah. I applaud the city's making strides for making downtown's more pedestrian and bicycle friendly. I love walking. I love bicycling. However, too often you're driving down the street downtown, pedestrians walk right out from between parked cars and they're not even looking. When I was a kid, I was told that's jaywalking. These people believe they have the right of way regardless of their own unsafe practice. I'm 60 years old. When I was a young man, I was taught you cross at the intersection with the light. Thank you for taking my call. Just what am I missing here?
Right.
Have a great day.
Thank you for your call.
You're right. You cross at the intersection with the light or at the marked crosswalk. You don't cross in the middle of the block. And part of what we're trying to engineer here is also the proper pedestrian behavior. So sometimes if you have green infrastructure or different ways of things, you can keep people to the sidewalks and to the crosswalks more effectively. If you do a bump out, for instance, and the crosswalk actually becomes the narrowest, safest place for people to cross, then they're not going to be crossing in the middle of the street. But if you have a situation like you have on State Street, where you have residences on both sides, there isn't a light for a very, very long walk, it's very tempting to cross in the middle of the block. Now, they shouldn't do that. I think we've got to have a balance between the responsibility of drivers and the responsibility of pedestrians. But that's precisely what the city is trying to do with a lot of these upgrades and improvements.
Yeah, the pedestrians have the right of way in Pennsylvania, but you can't assume the right of way. You've got to be careful as you're walking across the street.
Yeah, and you have to be responsible. If I'm crossing with my children or my dog or my bicycle, and I need to watch out for motorists, and I can't just assume that they aren't distracted or that they are paying attention.
I have a listener emailed saying, I think that a study should be done to see if by improving the water quality in Italian Lake, the lake would be able to freeze in the winter. A public ice skating area would be a great asset to the city. There are people alive today that remember the lake freezing solid enough to skate on, and it's possible that the water has too many impurities to freeze.
That's an interesting concept. I know that we just hired a new company to help with the aeration issue at Italian Lake, which basically could improve the water quality and the sustainability of the lake. A couple years back, we brought swans back to the lake, and it's as beautiful as ever. We're planning for potentially the launch of a new pavilion for Italian Lake, which will be good. You know, we've made a real effort to improve all of our parks and playgrounds, and as we speak, there are five different playground parks in the city of Harrisburg that are being completely redone, again, mostly with grant money and in partnership with our water authority, new pervious surfaces and basketball courts and all sorts of new equipment. It's really wonderful. There was a study that was done of Reservoir Park that we are currently partnering with the Civil War Museum on. You listeners may know that we reached an agreement with them.
Yes.
We offered to sell the Civil War Museum the artifacts, which the city purchased, which is the right thing to do, but then to take the money that would come from those and put it into the park, improving the park. So new playgrounds, new seating areas, new just make the park what it really could be, and that will benefit everyone. If you come to Shakespeare in the Park, which is starting here soon, you'll see that we've made improvements to the band shell. There's new lighting at the band shell. If you come out this Sunday for the Tour de Belt, which is the big capital area green belt bike ride, you'll get to see a lot of the improvements on the green belt that are happening. There's so many good things and so much energy in Harrisburg. It's really exciting.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest today is Harrisburg Mayor Eric Papenfuss, and a lot of issues to discuss. We're going to get to as many as we can, as many phone calls and emails as we can as well. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or comment on WITF's Facebook page on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Have an email from a listener, Mayor. I think I remember that the mayor was researching the possibility of creating a composting facility on a piece of land the city owns in Susquehanna Township. Has that effort ended, or is it still pending?
It is very much underway, and we are excited about it, and we're looking towards composting as the next step in a series of steps that the city has made to really increase recycling and sustainability within Harrisburg. I'm really proud of the fact that we sort of transitioned from a city that was known primarily for burning its trash and incineration to one that is much more conscious in the environment. We've tripled recycling. We're looking to build this composting facility that's currently going through the permitting and zoning application phase, and hopefully is something that will occur for next year. So, yeah.
Speaking of trash.
Sure.
Right now, there is a proposal in front of City Council that would change the code for waste recycling and composting. Mm-hmm. First of all, one thing that many of Harrisburg residents would be impacted the most by is giving an option on how bills can be paid. Right now, they pay once a month for 12 months. One of the things that would change is that they could do it one time during a year, even though that would be a much bigger. What's the idea behind that, the thinking behind that?
Well, if you want to stick with monthly billing, you can stick with monthly billing under the proposal. But we're offering, if you'd like to just pay it once and get it done with, and not have the multiple, the generation of monthly bills, you can pay it once and you can get a discount. I think that's the proposal. And that would bring revenues in earlier in the year for the city, would help us from a budgeting and planning perspective, and make it easier for some folks. But others who just want to keep the way it is, you keep the way it is and you pay monthly. One of the major changes we're proposing is increased fines and penalties for people that illegally dump in Harrisburg. And this is an issue that we have. I think people in the region know that the residents of Harrisburg, part of the aftermath and the cost of the malfeasance that happened in Harrisburg regarding the incinerator, is that we end up having to pay much higher rates to dispose of our trash. So it costs us more than twice what it costs somebody outside of the city of Harrisburg to dispose of trash at the incinerator. And as a result, there's the ripple effect of that is that people dump a lot because they can't afford to dispose of the trash properly. And we're looking to sort of crack down on that through better enforcement.
They can't afford to pay for it. I mean, I'm sure there are some people, but aren't there just some people out there who just, this is how they roll.
Yeah, they're unscrupulous contractors and others that will come in and, say, I'll clean out your basement. You pay them, you think you're doing the right thing, and then they find an abandoned lot and there goes all your stuff. So
how do you said about cracking down with fines, but I mean, most people who are dumping illegally are doing it so that they you don't know who they are. How do you do that? I mean, will there be police investigating, all right, who dumped this here?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes going through the piles and determining names and whatnot, greater cameras, the deputization of codes and police officers to assist in the issue. We also want the haulers, in this case, the individual, haulers that are the people that are cleaning out the basements and doing small construction jobs. We want them all to register and to have a registration which they display clearly. So if the police or others notice somebody hauling a big truck of stuff in Harrisburg and they're not properly registered, they know that they're not doing it the right way.
We have a question here from Denise in Harrisburg. Yep. Says, regarding the wall collapse next to the McFarland apartment building, what's the status of the situation? Aren't there city or county records on file to determine who is responsible to remedy this eyesore? Mayor, I have to tell you, this is one of the most bizarre situations I think I've ever seen, because it just is ongoing. It just seems as though it would be a fairly simple matter to determine who owns this, who is responsible for this cleanup.
It is, and I think we know who owns it and who's responsible, but the problem is that, and that's the owners of the McFarland Press Building, the problem is their insurance company hasn't wanted to cover this, and they would theoretically go bankrupt if they have to fix the wall. We're looking at a multi-million dollar fix, because it's not just a wall, it's about the entire building next to the wall, which could collapse. We know who's not responsible. It's clearly poor Mr. Henry at the Tire and Auto.
Poor Mr. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I feel sorry for the man. His business has been ruined.
Yeah. The city is not responsible. The city doesn't own any aspect of this. This is a private property dispute between the one folks that own the wall and the person that had the wall fall on them. We have been trying very hard to come up with a solution, and we've been working with all the parties to try and bring people together, but nobody wants to sort of own up and take responsibility, and that's why it's been sort of a stalemate. I mean, eventually, the court will rule in the matter, but to get it to move more quickly is difficult. So we can cite, and we have cited, the property owners. We have condemned the building, but there's a limit to what we can do in terms of getting them to act responsibly and to basically clean up the wall.
Patrick emails, the cost of parking in downtown Harrisburg is $3 per hour. It's hurting downtown business. Any plans for the city to address the parking cost issue? The cost of parking and crime is also hurting the housing rental market in downtown Harrisburg. I can attest to that as an owner of multiple properties in downtown Harrisburg. What's the city doing to address crime in downtown? Let's start with parking.
Lots of questions there. Yes.
Let's start with parking.
Sure.
You announced just recently, and it is happening already, parking would be free in the downtown area after 5 o'clock. But still, that $3 an hour, it is expensive. We knew it would be when the assets were sold. Anything that the city can do, and has it hurt business?
So I think it has had an impact, and I think it in we have tried our best to mitigate the situation. It is the cost that we're paying for the millions of dollars in debt that was accumulated regarding the incinerator in Harrisburg. Some of the things that we've done is that we worked to sort of reduce that rate on an experimental basis, and then eventually eliminate that rate from 5 to 7 in the downtown. We actually believe that by eliminating that rate, we're going to see more people coming downtown, more people parking at other times of day and in the garages from 5 to 7 as well. So the system will actually raise more money, ironically, by eliminating the metered parking from 5 to 7 and having that subsidy coming from the city and the county and the improvement district. Another thing which the caller should know is on Saturdays, and this is one of the best kept secrets, which is still very true, you can park for 4 hours for free any Saturday in Harrisburg on the Park Mobile app with the Park Mobile code LOVEHBG, L-U-V-H-B-G, which pops up right into your mobile app. That's another thing we negotiated. The extension of the hours from 5 to 7 and the adding of parking enforcement on Saturday were two of the changes that happened with the system. It wasn't just that the rates increased, it was that the hours were extended onto those times. So we've really tried to focus on mitigating those. Perhaps if we see a large civil settlement in the case of the Commonwealth versus these professionals, we could use some of the resources of that money to subsidize parking rates for the city as a whole, much like we're doing in the 5 to 7 period. So that's an example of how the cost, which is now being borne by the region, could lessen if we had real accountability for who caused the problem. And so there were some other issues with that talk, and one talked about the real estate market. And I do want to say that the housing market in particular has increased every quarter over the past several years that we've been paying close attention to this. More people are buying homes in Harrisburg, and they're buying homes for higher amounts. So that's a positive thing. The rental market is also increasing in Harrisburg. I'm not saying that the parking doesn't have a negative effect, but I am saying that there are other indicators showing that, especially on the real estate side, things are getting better and better. And we certainly see more and more development projects in Harrisburg. We have a number before City Council right now of conversions of old office buildings into residential units. I believe we've seen dozens and dozens of those just in the downtown alone in the past several years.
The last part of his question, and I did want to get to this, and this is crime.
Yep.
Harrisburg is not alone as a city that has a crime issue. Just last Friday morning, there was a woman who was an innocent bystander who was killed when she was caught. I don't know if it's crossfire or not, but she was killed, had nothing to do with the situation at 7th and McClay Street. So whether, you know, we can look at statistics. There are too many people being shot in the city of Harrisburg. What can you do about it? I know that early in the year you had talked about hiring 20 more police officers.
Yeah.
Does that solve the problem?
It doesn't solve the problem. It would be helpful and would be good. And we have had trouble with recruitment, although we've got a new class on the way. Let me say a couple things. First of all, overall statistics, year-to-year statistics show that crime is going down and has gone down dramatically in Harrisburg just over the past several years. It doesn't necessarily feel like that.
Perception's a big deal.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I do want to look at the statistics and say that trajectory is very clear. And I think our police department, under the leadership of Commissioner Carter, really does a very, very good job. And with the resources they have made Harrisburg safer, and they continue to make Harrisburg safer. But We have some major initiatives planned for the police in Harrisburg that are coming up that we think are going to make a difference. One of them is we are currently constructing and building a major new substation in Allison Hill in this area that we're calling Mulder Square, right across the railroad bridge from the transportation center. It's a high crime area where we believe if we have a more continuous police presence and we get the police officers out of being stationed in the downtown and into the neighborhoods, we're going to see a pretty dramatic decrease in crime. We're already seeing that in areas where we've shown a lot of close partnership working with the state police and other enforcement agencies. We bring a lot of resources to bear in Harrisburg from surrounding municipalities and other police and enforcement agencies, and that supplements what we're able to do. You're going to see things. If you come downtown this summer, you may see some horses out and about. That's because the Pennsylvania State Police are going to be partnering with us and bringing some of their resources to bear in the downtown. We're also looking to take our main police headquarters and move that into Uptown Harrisburg. That's a multi-year process. That's not going to happen as quickly as the substation in Allison Hill, but these are sort of big picture things. I do want to increase the complement of our police officers. I'm committed to that. Again, we've had trouble with recruitment. If anybody's interested in becoming a police officer, we are open and hiring and would love to hear from you. I think there's a national trend, though, especially in the current climate, that makes it harder to recruit officers. And some of the better officers, they get a lot of competition from surrounding municipalities. So we're working on it. We're working on a long-term strategy. But Harrisburg is getting safer. I encourage people to come out if they were out for Arts Fest, or if they're going to come out, as I mentioned, for the Tour de Belt or Shakespeare in the Park. They have every reason to believe that it's going to be completely safe and they're going to have a wonderful time.
What's the starting police officer salary?
Not very high. It's in the 50s, low 50s. And
You or would you have to pay more to make it easier to recruit?
We should pay more. Our salaries are not as competitive as the surrounding municipality. So, but we can offer police officers, an experience which is very unlike maybe a small sleepy town. And these folks,
so
they're getting
somebody
into
wants some action.
If they want action, if they want to be trained well, if they want to experience all aspects of law enforcement. And they want a career path that will allow them to do whatever they want in the future, then they come to Harrisburg. If they want more money out of the gate, then they might go to a surrounding municipality. I'd like to see those salaries increased. These costs are all things that we have to keep in mind, and we have to move slowly. We did negotiate a new police contract, which did some things with regard to salary. It eliminated a step, making it easier for police officers to advance more quickly. But we've got work to do. And as the city grows financially and recovers financially, I'd like to see us put more resources into public safety.
I know that the city is pursuing a medical marijuana facility.
Oh, yes.
And where does that stand?
Actually, the applications are in. This is the second round now before the Commonwealth, and I think we are definitely going to get, I would be surprised if we didn't get a growing facility or a dispensary. We've had a lot of interest, and the way the state did the scoring this time is that they put in an added bonus in the scoring if you were applying to be in an Act 47 municipality. So there's that term again. Harrisburg is the Act 47 municipality here in central Pennsylvania, so there was a lot of interest. Some of the areas of interest, the Cameron Street corridor, the 6th and 7th Street areas, McClay Street, for growing facilities. And people are looking at taking old industrial buildings and renovating them and turning them into a state-of-the-art secure facility. It's pretty exciting. A lot of jobs. We're talking about maybe 40 jobs for a growing facility, 20 jobs for a dispensary, as well as tens of millions of dollars in potential improvements.
I was at an event last week with Pennsylvania Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, mm-hmm. who has come out, and probably the most outspoken person in Pennsylvania, for legalizing recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. Would you support that?
I am not in favor of recreational marijuana, and I have to say it comes from my perspective of having three young children, two of whom are teenagers. I am in favor of medicinal marijuana, and I am in favor of having both a growing facility and a dispensary in Harrisburg. I think that'd be good for residents and good for the economy.
Mayor Eric Papenfuss, well, let me try to get one more question in here in 30 okay. seconds or less. The mayor, you're always concerned about what happens in the schools. This week, school district announced a budget that they may have to lay off 50 people, but maybe hire an assistant superintendent. 30 seconds or less, your thoughts.
We can't afford to be increasing classroom sizes. We can't afford to be having unlimited tax increases for the foreseeable future. The school district is not being run properly. We need a strong new recovery officer for the district, and I'm going to be working with the school board to try and improve things.
When you say not being run properly, I know that they decided to hire this, keep the superintendent.
The proof is in the results. We have not moved the needle with academic or financial improvement, and I'm certainly one who believes we should have a new superintendent.
Harrisburg Mayor Eric Papenfuss, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, the don't stitch or no stitch phenomenon.